Welcome to Growing Older with Gusto. So glad you clicked on this podcast. I am your host, Gail Zuckerman. What is this show all about? Growing Older with Gusto stems from a blog I began several years ago where I interviewed people growing older in a positive way. This podcast will piggyback on my blog and showcase people who have mastered the art of growing older in a vibrant and positive way. The people on my show will share their secret sauce for living well as they move ahead in life. I've had the good fortune to interview people ranging from world-renowned photographers to heads of ad agencies, CEOs, Holocaust survivors, and gold medal winners. It's a mix of men and women, and they are all incredibly inspirational. And I'm excited to share with you some motivating stories through personal interviews of interesting people I've met along the way. Explore, engage, and embrace your future by learning from those who have more experience. Let's move ahead and grow older with gusto.
Hi, I'm Gail Zuckerman, and welcome to Growing Older with Gusto. I recently spoke with Deacon Richardson, who currently lives in Chicago and is aged 82. Deacon Richardson came to Chicago as a young boy from the South at age 7 and recalls playing Cowboys and Indians, Kick the Can, and later hockey as a young boy in Chicago. His energy is infusive, and by listening to our podcast, you can hear about a life-changing event at age 50 that spurred him to a further commitment to his faith. And in his own words, his connection to his Catholic faith has been the greatest source of joy and strength as he continues to impact the world around him. So go and grab your earbuds and listen in to Deacon Richardson tell us about how keeping the faith, baby, and staying open to the right changes has kept him going and growing older with gusto. You can access our podcast, Growing Older with Gusto, by going to our website at www.growingolderwithgusto.com and subscribing. This is Gail Zuckerman with Growing Older with Gusto. I'd like to start out by asking you, what's your favorite color?
I have thought about that, and I guess what would be one of my favorite colors is blue.
Okay, and why is blue your favorite color?
Well, blue is my favorite color because when I grew up, I was brought up in the Catholic faith, and I used to look at the Blessed Mother, and she always was in blue. And I guess I became fascinated with that. And then I used to think that some of the other colors like red or something like that would be a little bit too noticeable, too attractive. And so I just decided that blue was... I always looked up in the sky, and the sky always seemed blue to me. So that's why I guess I became fascinated with blue.
Deacon, what was your favorite thing to do when you were a little boy and you were growing up?
I used to love to play. I used to love to play cowboy and Indians. I used to do that quite a bit, and I used to love to play around and kick the cans down the street, that kind of thing.
And you've always had a lot of energy, it sounds like.
Yeah, and I used to even try to play hockey at one time. I was about 8 or 9 years old.
Wow. Well, you're living in the right place for that, right?
Yes.
So you've been selected to be on the podcast because your attitude towards life is so positive and you're such a productive person. So I'd like to begin by chatting a bit about your life and how would you characterize where you are right now in life?
Well, I believe, Gail, that it all comes because I love life, and I love my connection with the Lord, and I think that has been source of my strength, the source of my joy. And I think also I got married quite early in life. The joy of my children, and I think, had a lot to do with the way I came up through life. I always wanted to be a positive figure for my children. And I have eight biological and I have a total of nine. I have eight biological, and seven of those are girls, and the one boy, he's the youngest. I think that has really been the source of strength and the source of my appreciating life, you know, in the manner that I do.
What would you tell somebody who's at midlife who wants to know how to grow older without being afraid of growing older? So many people in my generation of the baby boomers seem to have a fear about growing older. They don't want to talk about it. They don't want to know about it. They want to look younger, feel younger, which of course there's nothing wrong with that. But part of my reason for having the podcast and having my blog is to help people in my generation learn from people with more life experience on how to get to where they're going and enjoy that part of their life. So what would you tell them?
Well, Gail, honestly, I never thought about that I'd be reaching the age that I've reached, which is 82 years old. And I don't know. I know my mom and my dad were very positive roles in my life, of course. My dad passed us many, many years ago. My mother passed and she was 90. She was 2 weeks from being 97.
Wow.
And the life that they lived and lived and projected to me was always one of positiveness, one of you know, being with family, one of loving family, and one of you know, being able to just reach out to family whenever they needed something or you wanted to, you know, touch with them on whatever. Enjoyed that the relationship that I've had with my family and with my you know, with my children and grands. In fact, I've got 28 grands.
Wow.
And 14 great grands. So I find it a joy being able to you know, to touch base with them or to be with them, and they look up on me as being their anchor, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I try to be that for them in everything that I do.
And what did you do to stay vital as you were reaching the age of 82? Any nuggets of wisdom you can give us?
Well, I you know, when I was growing up, Dale, I grew up in the Catholic faith, and I the first one in my family to become a Catholic. I always took my faith very seriously. I guess when I was a teenager growing up, I had thought about maybe becoming a priest, but that didn't last that long. But I've always felt connected spiritually with. Well, I've always wanted to be a faith-filled person, and I do that by trying to live the best life possible that the Lord has granted me, and to stay honestly connected with Him. I became a deacon about 31 years ago. I got ordained as a deacon, and I was 50 when I, you know, started my training, and I had to go 3 years for my training. And my wife and I, we prayed over it, and you know, and then made the decision that was what I wanted to do. And that is what has really kept me anchored, being able to reach out to other people and to keep my wife, you know, together with her. And we continually, you know, we pray together every morning, and we pray together at other times, and just being anchored in the Lord has really been the source of my journey.
That gives us a great lead to the next question. You mentioned that your faith has given you the greatest strength throughout your life, and you ended up at age 50 starting to train to be a deacon. There's been a lot of research done on the importance of creating and keeping a strong circle of friends. And I was wondering, as a deacon, I assume you said you deal with a lot of people. And it's important, from my understanding, as we grow older, to maintain this strong network of friends throughout your life and associates. So do you have any thoughts on that or tips for making new friends or keeping old friends or communication tips?
Yes, I have. I've had friends for years. In fact, I have one friend now. He's he and I graduated from high school together, and we started together in the first year of high school, and we've been friends ever since. He and I stay connected. We, you know, stay in touch with each other. His wife and I, and you know, and I and my wife and I, we're constantly in touch with them. And then when I got married to my you know, current wife, she was involved with a group of people that they call their group the Old Pals. And it's a group of many people. I think I can't even give you a number in terms of the number because many of them have passed now.
But what are they called? The what pals?
The Old Pals. That's O apostrophe pals, P-A-L-S. We call ourselves the Old Pals.
Okay.
And they are a very, very warm group. And they're friends and family. They go back many, many years. And so when my wife and I got married, I fell right into it with them and got accepted with no problem. And so I've been with them for I guess about the last 20 some odd years, you know.
So tell me a little bit about how you all get together. What do you do when you get together? How often do you get together?
Well, we get together for different occasions, birthdays and just outings. We don't do as much as we used to because we've gotten a little bit older, but we used to go to the jazz festival downtown. Mm-hmm. We go to out to Virginia. We used to go out there. We used to go out there quite a bit, and we used to go to a lot of different functions, jazz concerts. We were all lovers of jazz. Mm-hmm. And we go to many other occasions, and we go on road trips.
Oh wow!
We've gone to a lot of different things as a group, and we still get together for, like I said, for birthdays and for special occasions. Mm-hmm. And we'll be getting together for the Super Bowl.
Oh, okay.
We've been doing that for the last 15 or 20 years almost.
That's great. How many people are in the group?
Oh boy. It's at least 20. At least 20. And like I said, some of them have passed over the years, you know.
Sure.
Yeah. But it's about 20 of us.
That sounds great.
Yeah, it's about 20 of us.
Okay. Do you have any favorite sayings or philosophies on living the good life?
Well, I have a scripture that I meditate on often, and that is, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And that's from Philippians 4, chapter 4, verse 13. And I've used that as a model for myself. And I think, just having a connection, as I said earlier, with the Lord on a daily basis has been a contributing factor to that journey. I very strongly believe in having that communication.
Mm-hmm. If someone were to give you a pill tonight and you woke up tomorrow and you were 50 years younger than you are today, what would you have done differently?
What would I do differently? I don't think I'd do anything different. I think I'd repeat everything over again. I'd just be younger doing it.
Okay.
No, I don't think that there's anything that I would actually change.
What have been some of the greatest changes in society throughout your lifetime?
I can remember, Gail, when I first went to, when I started high school, I started a high school where it was very few African Americans. Mm-hmm. And in fact, the group that went in, it was about 7 or 8 of us that went in at the same time, and that was at De La Salle High School on 35th in Michigan. And it was about 7 or 8 of us that went in, and we were the largest contingency of African Americans to start at that time. Mm-hmm. I think it was 5 of us that actually graduated from there. And we set the trend. And I started back then, I believe, in trying to make a difference in my journey. I became very vocal with when Dr. King was doing his protests and things. I became very vocal with that. In fact, when he came to Chicago, I was fortunate to be able to join in a couple of his marches from Marquette Park. And I've always been for change, you know, change in the right direction. Mm-hmm. And I've always thought I was born in the South, but I didn't actually grow up in the South. My folks came to Chicago when I was about 7 years old. But there was so much that was going on in the South at that time, of course, that were, you know, against my people, you know. Mm-hmm. And I became a very strong advocate for changes. And I can remember when I was able to go to the South, I experienced certain things that I just didn't think were right. But I always felt that there was a need for change in the right direction, you know. Mm-hmm. And so I've always been an advocate for the rights of our people, for society.
Of course.
And
so, what has been the change that you've seen?
Pardon me?
What has been the change towards African Americans that you've seen?
Well, I've seen changes. I've seen, you know, us as a people being more acceptable. We're still not where I think we should be, but I know that change takes time, and I'm still an advocate for making changes in our society that will reflect the people that are part of it, and I believe that we should all get along, and I believe that it tells us that we're to love our neighbors, ourselves, and I believe right. that very strongly. And so I'm constantly an advocate for that. And I passed it along, I believe, to my children and to my grandchildren, mm-hmm. and to those that I encounter. I always reach out. I try to be as positive. I try to be as positive as I can, no matter what the circumstances are.
And what has been most inspirational to you throughout your life?
I believe what has been most inspirational is my connection with my church. Well, first of all, I think with my wife, and then the two of us. We do so much together in the church and in society, we do what we can to help uplift people. Mm-hmm. And I think that has helped me inspirationally, and that as I say, I never start my day without some form of prayer. And I think, you know, my connection with that has been a source of my strength and has helped me along my journey, you know. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, my connection with my family, with my children, I still have a sister who's still living. No, she lives in Atlanta, but we stay in touch with each other. And in fact, in about a couple of hours or so, we have a weekly prayer conference that we do. And it's those connections, I believe, that helps me on this journey, you know.
Okay. Anything other than your connections to your family and the church that might be part of your secret sauce, so to speak, to living a joyful and nice life?
No, I think, that the golden rule, do unto others as you would have them to do unto you. I think I live by that. And I think, that helps me, keeps me going in the way that I should be going.
Mm-hmm. One last question. If you look back throughout your life, can you pick out something that might have been your most memorable moment?
Oh, wow. My most memorable moment.
Mm-hmm.
I think one of my most memorable moments was when my first daughter was born, and the doctor said, "You have a new baby girl." I think that was one of the most memorable, and she's. She's 62 now, I think. Yeah, 62.
Wow.
So, yeah. Yeah. So,
That's
I
sweet.
Think, yeah, she's, I think that was the beginning of my, what is it, joyful.
That's great.
My joyful life, you know.
That's wonderful. Well, I'm out of questions. Do you have anything else you might want to share with us that maybe I didn't ask?
No, I think we pretty much covered
everything.
Yeah, I think so.
Well, I'd like to thank you for your time today. I really appreciate it. And it's been very interesting learning up more about you and your life. And it's just been wonderful. So with that, I'd like to thank Deacon Leonard Richardson for being on the podcast today. This is Gail Zuckerman with Growing Older with Gusto.
I want to thank you so much for asking me to be a part of this.
So please join us in our next podcast and go to www.growingolderwithgusto.com and sign up for our podcast. Thank you very much.